This is Rich Meyer with the Upper Peninsula Bigfoot Sasquatch Research Organization, and you're listening to Out There.
I happened to come across a fellow by the name of Bill Jones, thanks to another guest I had. He was telling me about there's an event coming up, so I contacted Bill, and he has a website called Grasp, GRASPP.org, and they are paranormal investigators. Him and a few other people have been doing this for a while, so we'd like to welcome Bill Jones from, I think, Grand Haven. Is that where you're from, Bill?
Yep, Grand Haven. That's right. Thank you very much.
How long have you been?
We've been investigating. We've been investigating for 13 years.
13 years. What made you get started in doing this kind of thing?
Well, it was Halloween night in our brand new house, and we were watching the show Most Haunted on TV, mm-hmm. waiting for trick-or-treaters to show up. And we found out the neighborhood we're in didn't trick-or-treat.
Really?
They had a town party, and so I had a bowl full of candy and nothing to do, and my wife looks at me, and we're watching this show, and they're trying to do a seance to raise Jack the Ripper.
Oh, really?
And my wife says, we should do this sometime. I'm like, huh? You want to have a seance to raise Jack the Ripper? She goes, no, I want to go on a ghost hunt. I'm like, oh, well, that would be fun. When do you want to go? She says, how about now? So I called up my buddy Jay, and the three of us went to one of the most haunted places in Michigan, Nunica Cemetery. We took a bunch of pictures out there and had a lot of fun, freaked ourselves out quite a bit, got home and looked at our pictures and saw all sorts of things in the pictures that we couldn't explain.
What were some of
it was just different lights and mist and different things that we'd never seen before or expected.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to a website for an established group. We sent our pictures in to them. They sent us back a reply. You don't have anything. You don't know what you're doing. Don't bother us.
Hmm.
So I was a little pissed off. We started looking into things and trying to figure it out for ourselves. And eventually we figured out that we didn't have anything. We didn't know what we were doing. We shouldn't have bothered them. But we got the bug by then. And we started doing a little more investigating and learning a few more things. And we thought, you know, there's other people out there that have questions on this stuff and don't have any place they can turn to that they can trust. So that was the basis for us when we started GRASP right there, was to come out with information and help people understand what they're experiencing, whether it's paranormal or if it can be explained.
So you started this with initially the three of you doing
yep.
this, and then you brought another fellow in as well, right?
Right.
And so normally it's four of you that go out on these events. And when you're measuring whether there's paranormal, do you use certain devices? Do you have a lot of these gadgets?
Oh, we have all the good stuff. We've got the night vision cameras. We've got voice recorders, EM pumps, laser grids. We have a complete security camera system that we've converted to make it into a mobile night vision system. We've got the stuff they use on TV, the famous K2 meter and all the other good stuff. And we've even got, we do things on a scientific level. We try to debunk everything we can find, but we also have several sensitives in the group. And basically we use them as tools as well. When they feel something, we take the equipment into that area and we try to document what they've experienced so we can come up with either evidence or answers.
And how often do you feel like you actually find something that can't be proven?
Most things can be figured out, but you know, even in a case where we can't say that it's been a paranormal event, we still will capture questionable EVPs and different things of that nature that we just can't say one way or the other because it's just there's just not enough to go on.
Do you mainly just explore the hauntings, or do you cover other types of paranormal?
Currently, we're doing mostly the ghostly side of things, but we do have an interest in cryptozoology and in ufology, if you say it, however you say that. But
right.
I mean, yeah, we don't in this area. We're well known for our reputation is well known for researching the spiritual side of things. So we don't get a lot of chance to do the others.
So what are your other members do? You mentioned your wife. What is her involvement? Well, we can talk to her as well, Connie, if she wants to tell us. She can even tell us why she got interested in this, but do you want to put her on?
Sure. My wife is Connie, and she is one of the co-founders. And, here you go.
Hello.
Connie, how you doing?
I'm hanging in there.
So were you always a believer in ghosts and paranormal things?
I always had an interest in it, you know, curiosity and all that, you know, is it true? Is it real? That kind of thing.
Have you had any experiences of your own?
Actually, yeah. We were doing an event at the local Elks Lodge. And there was a group of us up in the ballroom upstairs, and most of the group went out into the hallway and had shut the doors to the ballroom, and another one of our members and myself were standing there talking, and all of a sudden, we both turned our head the same direction at the same second, because we had both seen a shadow that shocked both of us, because neither one of us had ever experienced that before, and the shadow went from the ballroom into a barroom area. So there were two doorways to this barroom. Well, we automatically, of course, went to check it out. So she went in one door, I went in the other door, and we pretty much about ran into each other because we didn't find anything. But yet we both saw it. It was interesting.
Does any of this stuff, when you're out doing it, does it scare you a little bit? Are you a little startled at all?
Sometimes it depends on the event, you know, on what happens. Other times we're just like, hey, let's go get it. But there was one time there were only three of us women in a huge building, and we were talking about a photograph that had been taken on one of the cameras. And we were standing like in a semicircle, and there was a wall, you know, up against the rest of the area, like in front of us. So we're standing there chatting about this photo, and all of a sudden we hear this guttural growl. And it's like right in front of us, like a cornered animal would do.
Wow.
And we tried to recreate it. We could not recreate it. And then also one other thing that was kind of interesting, at the same place, us three girls were talking about the next room we were going to go into. Well, we caught an EVP of what sounded like an African-American man saying, I will, you know, like we were discussing, okay, who's going to go first, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we got this audio EVP of, yeah, I will. Mm. Okay. Of course, we didn't hear it because it wasn't EVP. It wasn't a disembodied voice. So.
Mm-hmm. So you were able to pick that up later. You figured that out later. What do you like about doing
right.
this? What is it that you enjoy when you go do these things, Connie?
I think the mystery of it.
Mm.
You know, kind of trying to solve the puzzle kind of thing, you know?
Right.
We're still trying to solve the puzzle, but...
Do you feel you can solve most of the events that you go to?
I know we're going to give it our best.
Okay.
You know?
Right.
We do try to come up with the common sense reasons for what's happening before we go in the other direction. Because 9 times out of 10, you know, there's some type of a vacuum going on between doors, and you open one door and it slams the other door, and
right.
you know, or whatever. You know, and people don't think about the little details sometimes, and they automatically assume.
Have you ever, you've seen the shadow, but have you ever seen an apparition?
No, not yet. We have an apparition video that's kind of got the group split. It's we have it actually up on YouTube, thrown out there for people to look at.
So not everybody agrees. You guys are sometimes in disagreement. Now, you have a couple other people there. I know Mike and Jay are there, and I guess I want to ask them some questions. What is Mike and Jay? What do they do?
Okay, Jay is our third founder, and Mike is a management / equipment manager.
Okay, so if Jay, I can talk to him maybe next. He's the third founder in the group, if he's available.
Yep. Yep, here he is.
Hello.
Jay, how you doing?
Good.
How long you been with the group?
What do you say? 14 years?
Since the beginning, since the very beginning.
Yep.
What made you have interest in this, in paranormal research?
Well, like he said, I was the friend he called, and then we went and did all that.
And were you always open to this, or is this just something you wanted to do for the fun of it, or did you have an experience?
Well, like he said, they were watching a show, and we used to watch some of the shows, Ghost Adventures, and what they would get on there would be like, it'd give you things to think about, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And make you start to wonder, you know, maybe there's more to life than just life and then death. Maybe there's more beyond death.
Go ahead. I was just going to ask that. So do you feel like you were always curious or open to this?
Yeah, I'm thinking so. Yeah. And I just never really thought about it until we started doing it.
And you never had any experiences?
Oh, actually, I have.
What were some of your experiences?
We were doing an investigation at the Elks, and I was upstairs in the ballroom with two other investigators, and I was sitting on the stage, and we were doing EVPs, and something touched my leg.
Hmm.
And there was nobody within probably at least 50 feet of me.
Wow. Did it freak you out a little bit or what?
No, not really. I just knew something was there, but no, it didn't freak me out.
So when you're around this stuff, dealing with paranormal, maybe some strange things happen, it never startles you at all? I asked Connie that too, because I'm guessing a little bit when something catches you by surprise. You ever feel startled doing that at all?
No. I think I've only been like doing an investigation. I think I've been freaked out once. And just something in the air or the way the room was, it was just creeping me out.
Mm. What kind of investigation were you doing when that happened, Jay?
God, I can't remember where that was at. Do you remember where that was at? Remember? I know I told somebody that I was getting creeped out there, but I can't remember where it was. Could have been. Yeah, Cardoma Lodge.
You told me that you caught some of the stuff like Ghost Adventures. What do you think of those kind of shows?
Oh, they're pretty interesting until you get to the fact that some of the stuff they do is set up, or you know, we found out later that they're making this stuff up or setting it up.
Yeah, it's television.
That's kind of disappointing.
I think anytime you have television, go ahead.
But other than that, I mean the stuff before we learned all this other stuff, to me it was interesting.
Mm. Well, that's interesting. Jay, anything else you want to tell me about your experiences?
Well, actually, I've been having some experiences where I live now with a dog I used to have. And me and my wife, she had got cancer. Mm. The dog got cancer. And I want to make that clear. It wasn't my wife. It was the dog.
Thank you.
And so we would be in bed at night, and she used to sleep on the bed with us. And we could swear we'd feel her jump on the bed, and then like she would walk around and get comfortable and lay down. And she would lay like right between us, and we would both feel that.
Mm. Do you believe it was her then?
Yep, we sure do.
So it tells you that
100%
that even animal spirits go on, don't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've done a number of shows, and I've talked to people that are called pet psychics. I don't know if you ever work with those or not. But I have no doubt in my mind that animals' spirits go on just like we do, and they come back and visit us from time to time because they feel what we're going through, and they just want to comfort us, I think, and be around us. So fascinating, Jay. I'm glad you had some contact with your dog.
Yep. Yep.
Maybe I can talk to Mike as well, unless you have more to say. Maybe we can talk to Mike and see what he has.
Oh, no, I'll give it to Mike, and I'm good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Mike.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm okay.
Tell me about what you do with the group. You're in charge of all the equipment, the tech stuff?
Yes, I am in charge of setup, teardown, working with the equipment, learning about it, teaching others.
Are you interested in the paranormal side of it, or are you just more of a techie? Would you describe yourself, Mike?
Well, actually, I'm empathic, but I enjoy both.
Okay. So this is a journey that you enjoy taking because you feel things as well. So you've been sensitive to these, what, your whole life?
Yeah.
When do you have any experiences in your earlier time when you were younger? That anything that you want to tell me or anything you want to share?
It was more of basically reading people when I was younger. Mm-hmm. They're feeling their energy, being emotionally changed by it.
And what about on the paranormal investigations that you go on? Do you feel things? Do you see things?
Yes, on both accounts. Seeing things is, to an extent, kind of a rare occasion. When something wants to show itself to the third eye, is what most people would call it,
mm-hmm.
It'll show what it wants to be seen as. But feeling the presence of other entities around, how they feel, that's definitely up there.
Do you sense that some of these energies are, which some people would call negative or dark energies? Have you come across that?
Yeah, several. In fact, actually, I was punched by one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, right in the thigh.
Oh,
well, more in the hip.
And what do you do when you deal with those kind of energies?
Yell at it.
You don't have somebody that comes in and tries to clear that out?
No. Actually, I myself, all they do is, if they do quote unquote clear out, is they just like kind of push them out of the area for a while. Mm. And if the entity decides to move back in, it's going to.
Okay. Yeah. I suppose there's not too much you can do in that respect unless you can make them go to the light. But that again is a choice as well. So you've had these feelings, these sensitivities, where you can walk into a place just about anywhere. Do you feel like that most places have some kind of energy in it?
The energy that is in most places actually tend to be from the living.
Okay.
Because normally when I walk into a place, there's always been people there or is there with me.
So it's like
their energy. Yeah.
Residual energy of who's living there. See, I guess I believe that there are probably spirits all over the place. You know, everywhere you go, there you could have something, especially in older buildings. It seems like we have some buildings here in Escanaba that you go in, and there's definitely, it seems like they like these older dwellings. Is there a preferred place where you find them?
Well, actually, to be precise, there are wandering spirits. And spirits are not actually to the building per se, but to the land or something that's within the building that they maybe once owned when they were alive.
So
you know, there's a lot of different reasons why a spirit would be attached to a certain area.
Could they be attached to like dolls or things like that?
Yeah.
So when people go around rummaging, should they be maybe a little more careful in what they look at?
Yes, actually. I don't know, maybe Bill will go in on the story, but there's a good one for the spice merchant, and they had like an old armoire or dresser that the owners purchased and brought into the store, and there was something attached to that specific furniture.
Bring that in your home, and then you got a visitor hanging around you.
Yep.
Now, do you find most of these investigations you go on, Mike, do you find that most of these spirits are just kind of hanging around? They're really not bothering anybody? That most of them are just kind of just aren't ready to move on?
Actually, probably about half of the investigations, there's really nothing. No actual spirit, no entity. It's just residual energy that plays a good part into it. Others are physical phenomenons that manifest within our world, like EMF fields and stuff like that, that tend to give people the feeling of something being paranormal. The other half, there are spirits that either try hiding from us or become very vocal when being confronted, or however they want to perceive us or however they want to interact with us is what they're going to do.
Do you find that your mood or energy can affect things around you when you're in these investigations?
Yes. Depending on how I want to investigate, my energy, my aura tends to be very protective. So things tend to stay somewhat of a good distance from me. Other times I tend to drop that and let them come in closer so I can get a better feel for them.
Have you ever felt like there was a place you went where people maybe would have been in danger or were having, you know, if they're having extreme difficulties with something?
Yes, actually there is one place, and it wasn't with this group. But there's a old small cemetery out in Newaygo County called Bull Cemetery that people have decided to do some rituals. Like, there was actually evidence of ritual on a child's grave there. There was like a dark entity. I don't want to say it was a demon because I really don't believe that a demon exists. It's just people's intentions. But there was a really dark entity there that attached itself to a couple of us that were there doing EVPs, and definitely affected by it. For 3 days after that, I was sleeping for like 20 hours a day until I got smudged and was able to release that connection.
So that is what you would you recommend if somebody goes through that? Is there more than one procedure, or smudging is a good way to do get rid of that?
Well, there's a, depending on your belief or religion, some people from either Christianity like myself or Catholicism will use like holy oil or water to cleanse oneself. There is the Wiccan way of smudging or saging yourself.
Do you ever like sprinkle sea salt? Do you ever do that in the doorway? Because I've done some clearings here as well in this area, and we burned the sage, but we also sprinkled sea salt in the doorways and parts of the home. I think it was sea salt. Maybe, I'm pretty sure that's what it was. Sprinkled salt. Is that something as well that you've come across?
Well, salt is a protective barrier, same thing as brick dust. Stuff like that. You can spread around openings of your doors or all the way around your house, and it is a barrier that keeps spirits out of your place.
So if somebody was having a real difficulty, what advice would you give them? Depends what they believe in.
Well, I would suggest trying to first find someone or a group of people to actually investigate, see what they can find. Don't attempt to actually try exercising, because seriously, half the time to three-fourths of the time doesn't work. You're just going to piss them off even more. find a happy medium with the spirit, interact with it, say, hey, I know you're here. You've shown yourself to me several times. Your presence is known. I'm acknowledging you. Because roughly about half the time, that's what they want, is they want mm-hmm. someone to know that they can see them, can hear them, feel them.
I think some of them are just trying to get help because they're lost. They don't know how to get out of where they're at. They don't know how to get back to the light. So sometimes my experience has been that they're trying to get your attention because they don't know how else, you know, what to do.
Well, that could be the case.
You haven't had that experience.
I can't say that for sure.
Okay. Yeah, it's not the case with all of them. I know we've done places where we've opened the light portal and some have gone to the light. And I was at a building once where we had like five spirits that were there. And we had about, I think, two or three of them that went to the light. But sure enough, you could hear them stomping around and making noise and things like that. And my friend was in the building, was living there. It was actually a commercial building, but he was living in it. And it was three stories. And the spirits were always upstairs making lots of noise. And so he was getting a band together, and they were recording. And the spirits apparently were either dancing or getting jamming to it. I don't know, but they'd make a lot of noise. And so what we did is I told my friend, tell him Dan, he's a Native American friend of mine, tell him Dan's going to come over there if they don't start quiet down. And so he went up to the second story, and he said, you guys be quiet up here, or Dan's going to come over. And he said he never heard a noise after that. So, you know, you can communicate. And I think, don't you also think, Mike, that it's about taking back your power, the person that lives in
yep.
the house? Because it's kind of, you've given up some of it. And fear only makes it worse, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Because they can feed off of that energy. I mean, fear, happiness, sadness, those are truly strong emotions that will feed the paranormal.
Hmm. So even happiness, if you're feeling really happy, can feed it, you're saying?
Yes.
No,
depending on whatever entity is there. I feel that the strong happiness emotion will feed the children's spirits, mm. the spirits of the deceased children, mm. Pets as well.
Mm-hmm. So have you ever had, when I was talking to Jay, he talked about an animal spirit, his dog. Have you ever had any animal spirit activity that you're aware of?
No, I have not.
Anything else you want to tell me, Mike?
Bill's looking at me going, you're talking too long. You're being just like me.
Hey, we got a show to do.
Yep.
It's
Bill wants to talk more about the convention.
Sure. Well, I thank all of you and Connie and Jay for sharing personal things like that. That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Yep, no problem. All right, here's Bill.
Thank you.
Yep.
Only believe about half of what he says.
You know, it's kind of neat, Bill, to get insight from every one of the crew there because each of them is going to see things their own unique way, have their own unique experiences. And I don't know if I really asked you, did you have any paranormal experiences when you were younger at all?
I actually had a couple of things happen to me in my teenage years, but due to social pressures and things like that, I really didn't think a whole lot about it.
And what were those events? Do you remember those events?
Well, the one that really sticks with me was I was in bed. I mean, this time actually wasn't even a teen. I was probably about 20, 21. But I was in bed sleeping, and I got woken up at night. Just it's a summer night, the windows are open, and I got a chill, and I kind of felt like somebody was watching me, and I looked up from the bed, and there was a dark shadow standing in the doorway, and I reached over and woke up my now ex-wife and said, hey, look over there. And she looked over and she's like, what the heck? You know, she's seen the same thing. And we both kind of laid back down, and a second or two later, I looked back up, and it wasn't in the doorway. It was now at the foot of my bed.
Mm.
And I was like, whoa, you know, I had this just uneasy feeling here. It's 60, 70, 80 degree. I don't remember how warm. It was a really warm summer night. And I was ice cold. Didn't know what to think about it, you know. And I talked to a few people about it afterwards and kind of made jokes about it and then kind of forgot about it. And then here, a few years later, we start doing this stuff and start doing our own investigations. And it's like, wow, they're really, you know, I wish I would have been paying more attention back then. If I'd known this stuff then, you know, maybe I could have come up with some better answers.
Mm. Yeah. I wonder who was visiting you. You think it could have been a relative?
Yeah.
You ever feel like relatives come around?
I kind of do. I kind of feel like it was my grandfather.
Mm.
The time in my life with my ex and my then ex was pretty stressful. And I kind of wonder if maybe that was him coming to say, hey, you know, wake up.
Yeah. I think you hear a lot of people with stories like that that have loved ones that they sometimes even see, or maybe it's in a dreamlike state that visit them and say something that's accurate. Do you put any... As far as dreams, do you put anything on that? Do you feel there's anything that's a way of communicating?
I do, actually. Like Mikey was talking about, emotion is the biggest key to any haunting that we've discovered. And, you know, if you're going to have somebody you love who's passed away come to you in a dream, you know, the emotion is there.
Mm-hmm.
So I do believe it is highly possible and has happened, that this happens more frequently than we actually realize.
Now, what about the cold that you mentioned? Do you have a understanding why things get cold when spirits are around us?
One of the biggest theories on that is the fact that it takes so much energy for a spirit to manifest in any form that it draws it from the environment. It draws, and this is what's causing these cold spots or hot spots, depending on the situation.
Mm. So you're saying sometimes it could actually be a hot spot, too?
Yeah. We have, excuse me, we have actually come across people who have been, in their experiences, they've had, instead of a cold spot, they've had an area in the house that's just really, really hot, and it's so hot that they can't even stay in the room. They want to leave the room.
Wow. That's the first I've heard of that. That's interesting.
Like I said, we've been doing this a while. We've prided ourselves on doing a lot of history and a lot of background on both our clients and the property they're in.
So would somebody
and the
go
stories?
Go ahead.
No, the stories tend to each have their own differences, but they have a lot of key factors. You know, when it comes to like the hot spots, you're talking temperature change. You know, we have things that just kind of they seem to show up in a lot of action and a lot of investigations that we have a lot of activity.
That's awesome. That's you've done a good job on all of that. Is there if somebody wants to contact you, how far would you go to investigate, and do you charge anything?
We never charge to investigate. We found that people that ask us this quite a bit, and we find that if we have you pay us to investigate, now we feel obligated to find your ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about finding your ghost, it's about finding the answers.
Right.
We've done investigations all over Michigan. We've done Chris Point Lighthouse. We've done Cadillac. We've done all over the Lake Shore. If we can get there, we will go ourselves. If not, I will help whoever has a problem. I will help you find a group you can trust. We have a lot of friends around the state that, you know, have worked with us, and we know what they can do and what, you know, what their skills are. And, you know, I won't hesitate to recommend somebody that I know can do the job correctly.
Do you feel paranormal incidents are increasing?
I wouldn't say they're increasing. I would say that people are paying more attention.
So just becoming more aware, perhaps?
Yes.
Do you think maybe people's awareness is opening up a little bit more because this topic now has been talked about? And it seems like whatever you're open to, that certainly allows more of it to come through. Do you feel that way as well, Bill?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. You know, the topic of paranormal ever since the original Ghost Hunters came on TV. You know, they turned around and made. Yeah, you can hear him in the back. Yeah, that's another word. We'll talk about him later. But you know, when it comes to the TV shows, that's opened up the doors to make this a dinner table topic.
Does a person, do you think that people have to be psychic to pick up these things?
No, I do not. Again, it falls into the emotion.
Okay.
I think that to any haunting, the key is emotion. If you have strong emotion on any topic, I think you're going to be susceptible to experiencing something as long as you're paying attention.
There are people, though, that are, I see you had a listing of definitions on your website, that are clairaudient or whatever, and they hear or see things. And those people, I wouldn't call them more gifted, but to me, they're more in touch with that, a part of ourself that I think all of us could develop if we truly want. Mike mentioned, I think it was Mike that said about the third eye being open to being able to see or sense or feel things. So I look at it as the more we open that up, the more we can start seeing the invisible that's right around us, all these things that are around us. And
oh, yeah.
So it's something everybody could develop. So if somebody out there right now is listening and they go, gee, Bill, I wish I could see a ghost or I could experience this. And maybe just being open to it is one thing. And also you can develop that ability by just focusing on it, I think, and talking about it, even talking about it, thinking about it, meditating on it. You know, when it seems like when you had your first experience, it opens the door for you to have more. Did you ever notice that or feel that?
Oh, yeah. We've had people in the group in the past who have joined because of the curiosity about it and all that, and then they've never had an experience. And then somebody in an investigation will maybe have an actual experience, and they're going, well, I didn't see that. I didn't get that. And I'm like, you know, it doesn't work that way. It's not something that you can just want to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that's the cards have got to be right. You know, the entity has got to be willing. The energy has got to be there. And it's just, that's how it works.
And I think part of it too is we have to believe too. I think everything in life that we create, we believe. So if you start, it's to going from, well, I'd like to see one, but I don't know. And then if you start really believing it, once you've had your first experience, then you know, becomes knowing, and then you believe. And then it's just, for me, myself, when I start believing it more and being around it more, just all these things happen. So that was my point. Bill, tell me about this event that you have coming up at the end of June. There's a big get-together with all types of paranormal people that's going to be in Grand Haven. Can you inform us on that?
Oh, yeah. We're real excited about this. This is going to be the Michigan's Ghost Coast Paranormal Convention. And it's going to be something new. It's not like your normal paranormal convention. There's not going to be any TV celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
Those conventions, while they're a lot of fun, they do focus on their entertainment. What the Michigan Ghost Coast is going to focus on is the paranormal scene in Michigan. We're going to have speakers like Amber Rose Hammond, who's a local author here, has written several books on the paranormal. We have Bill Konkoleski, the state of Michigan director of MUFON.
Mm-hmm.
We have Todd Clements from Mackinac Island and the Haunts of Mackinac, the only person authorized to ghost hunt on Mackinac Island. We have Shatan Noor for cryptozoology. We have Beverly Fish, who's coming to speak on demonology.
Hmm.
Plus, we're going to have workshops. We've got six different workshops, all based on different aspects for people who want to learn more about the paranormal. We've got the Upper Peninsula Bigfoot Sasquatch Research Organization, mm-hmm. Rich Myers and his crew.
Yep.
They're coming down. They're going to do a workshop for us. They're going to have booths. We're going to have paranormal teams and vendors and booths. We're going to have several podcasts going on. I mean, this thing, I ended up just last week, I had to go back down to our convention hall and get more space because we sold all our booths.
Wow.
And this thing is really starting to grow.
Good for you. Good for you.
I'm excited. I'm having fun. Now, we've got 9 more booths still available, and we've got sponsorship packages available, and tickets. You can buy tickets on the website and all good stuff.
What are the tickets going for?
General admission for the convention is running $25. Kids 9 and under get in for free. This is a family event. We want to make sure families understand that. Speakers are going for $20 for a speaker, or you can get all 5 speakers for $80. The workshops are all $30 a piece. And the best deal of the whole package is the VIP package. It gets you admission into both days of the convention. It gets you all the speakers, all the workshops. If you buy it before Friday of the event, then you get included into the VIP dinner, which is Friday night. There's going to be tarot card readings. And, I mean, the VIP ticket is a huge deal because it's about $100 savings. It's $225 for the VIP ticket. But, I mean, it's a great deal.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a great time with all the guests you have. I like the fact that you focused on people within the area. And, of course, Rich is from Upper Michigan. I interviewed him not too long ago. And some of the other people you've had on your show, I talked to Bill. Is it Bill Konkoleski?
Yep.
I've talked to him before. And I think even Amber I might have talked to at one time. So a lot of people that make those rounds that have been doing it for a long time, have good credibility, and are very serious about what they're doing. They take it seriously.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But yet they still have fun. I'm guessing you take it seriously, but you guys have a good time doing it as well.
Oh, you've got to. If you don't enjoy what you're doing, it becomes work.
And so you work a regular job on top of this, Bill.
Oh, yeah. I put in 50-hour weeks driving trucks.
And so in your spare time, you'll go and do these investigations. And how long does a typical investigation run?
Well, it's not like you see on television. A typical investigation will last 2, 3, sometimes 4 months.
Wow.
You stop and think. What we do a full interview process before we even start anything. Then we do research again on the client, on their background, on the property. We try to research as much as we can to get clues on which way to take our investigation. We'll do an average 4 to 8, maybe 12 hours sometimes on an investigation with all the equipment running nonstop. So we end up with 300-400 hours worth of recordings to review sometimes. And you know, with everybody having a full work schedule, you know, it takes time to go through all that stuff. And we go through every bit of footage.
Mm. And how often do you find something going through it? That's a lot of footage. How often do you find something? More often than not, probably nothing?
More often than not, you find nothing, but you also find quite a bit that is what we call Class C evidence. It's something we can't really explain, but we can't really tell you it's paranormal.
Mm.
You start finding the Class A's and the voices and the images. They're rare to come across, but the EVPs seem to be the most common evidence we find.
Have you had cases where you were able to pinpoint the name of the individual maybe that lived in the house that's causing the problem, or a historical figure, or just somebody in the past? Are you able to piece that all together?
Occasionally, we never really get right down to being able to say exactly who it was, but there was an investigation we did in Cadillac, Michigan, where it started out as one gentleman having things going on in his house. Then we find out his twin brothers having things going on in his house. So we put both homes into the investigation. We even captured a possible apparition in one of the homes. And we've had tons of EVPs in the other home that were just unbelievable. And then all of a sudden, the one brother, his wife up and grabs the kids and leaves them, and the other brother, his girlfriend that was living with him, becomes pregnant, and he proposes to her, and then everything stopped.
Hmm.
Well, one of the theories that we were working on, there was a photograph that the boys grew up with in their father's house that was of a past relative, and we believe it was, I think it was a grandmother in the picture. And we believe that either grandma or grandpa were moving the picture around when they were younger, and nobody really took it seriously. They figured it was just somebody else messing with them in the house, you know. But after all this, we kind of think that maybe grandma or whoever this was family related. They were upset with the boys' choices in life, and when things changed, they were happy and they moved on.
That's interesting. Do you find children sense things more than adults? You ever notice that?
Definitely. And I think there's good theories on why that is, and they're solid theories. But the biggest issue we've come across is once you start showing a child attention on an event that they might have experienced, you have to be very careful that you're not feeding into their imagination. But I do believe that they are seeing more than what we think they are.
And the theory, one of the theories is that, you know, they're more open, and we all could be that way, but through life we get closed off through the things that happen to us. And that seems to make some sense. Maybe there's other reasons.
There's another theory out there about, I believe it's called RF cones. Back in the days when caveman days and such, children had more RF cones in their eyes than adults. These RF cones were to help them see at night, because back then they were prey. You know, so today children still have more RF cones than adults, but I believe the study said that the number is down. But it is a possibility that these RF cones are helping them see in these spectrums that grown-ups can't.
Interesting. That's an interesting presentation. Now, do you feel that children sometimes are causing, you know, there seems to be some kind of connection. Some people will say with poltergeist activity, teenagers, children kind of bring that on.
I do feel that. There was one case we've done a while back that had a young boy. He was in trouble quite a bit, and his father had passed away suddenly, and he was very emotional, and they had things going on in there that he just assumed was his dad the entire time. And when we did our investigation of this stuff, we found that there is a possibility of paranormal things going on, but we think that it was more things that he was emotionally creating the energy for rather than it being his father.
That's interesting. So the event is coming up June 29th and 30th, and you said you wanted to mention your sponsors. Is there anybody else you want to mention on that, Bill?
Oh, yeah. We've got some great sponsors. We've got Sobey Meats out of Walker, who's donating pulled pork for our VIP dinner. And then there's Michigan Mortgage and Must Love Dogs, West Michigan Pawn, and People Center out of Muskegon. These are all businesses that are taking advantages of some of our great packages to get their name out there and show support for us and for the community. So we want to make sure that they get a little thumbs up and all that for kudos for helping us out.
Do you feel that the public is more open, is continuing to get more open? Do you ever run into anybody giving you flack about what you do?
Oh, yeah. I hear that all the time. You're a ghost hunter? Come on, really? I think it's funny is I'll talk about this stuff to anybody anytime. And I've been having situations where... Enough of you guys. Go home. But, I'll have a conversation with five or six people and one of them, there's always one that says, I never bought into that stuff. But when I walk away from that conversation, they're the first person to come up to me and go, well, there was this one time.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's fun, though.
All the people at work know that I do this stuff. I got people coming up to me.
Yeah, it happens. You start talking about it, people start finding out what you're doing, and all of a sudden everybody wants to talk.
I think, everybody probably has had an experience if they just looked at it. they probably have had something in their life, especially early ages, that they maybe pushed away for years. That's what I did. I just pushed it to the back. I believed it, but I thought, well, maybe that didn't happen to me. I believe in spirits and I believe these things, but I don't think that's what happened. I literally saw an apparition standing over my wife one time, kneeling, not kneeling over, but bent over. And these lights went by the bedroom window and then it disappeared. I said, oh, it must've been the lights of the car. Yeah, it formed a perfect body, leaning right over her, looking at her, you know. And she, you know, we knew we had something in the house because it would make some noises and rattle some things and slam things around a little bit. But he wasn't harmful. So, you know, the more I've seen these things, just the more of a believer you come, and then you move on to other things. I want to ask you a couple more things, if we can. Have you done any UFO investigations, and did you find anything?
We had one gentleman who kept sending us pictures of what he believed to be UFOs that were hovering over his home in Allendale. We were never able to connect with him to go out there and try to do the investigation. That's as close as we'd come. The pictures themselves, I can't say that he had anything substantial in there, but without investigating it, you know, I can't say that he didn't.
Have you ever experienced anything that you couldn't, a craft or anything you saw in the sky that you couldn't identify?
I did one time, a number of years back when I used to drive over the road. I was out in Pennsylvania, in the mountains in Pennsylvania. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. I pulled into a rest area to stretch and wake myself up a little bit. Excuse me. And I was looking up, admiring the stars in the sky. It was a beautiful, clear night. There were millions of stars up there. And I thought it was so cool about the view I could get on top of this mountain. When I noticed there were three large clusters of stars that were moving across the sky amidst the other stars, each cluster had about, I bet you, 30 to 40 lights in them. And they were all spaced a good distance apart, but they were moving in the exact same direction at the exact same speed. Hmm. And when I spoke to an ex-Air Force officer, he was telling me, from what I described, that it couldn't have been any military planes or anything like that, because by the size of the lights being comparable to the stars, they would have been too high up and they wouldn't have flown in clusters like that.
That's good. That's good that you were able to find that out, because you would have gone, you know, had you not researched or at least talked to somebody, you might have thought, oh, well, it's probably just some, you know, some planes or jets or whatever. And then when you talk to somebody that knows a little bit about how the military operates, then it tells you, well, okay, it wasn't that. What else would it be?
Yeah.
Could have been anything. What about Sasquatch Bigfoot? Has anybody in your group or anything had any experience with that paranormal?
Not yet. We're working on, we've talked to Rich a couple of times about getting up there and learning from him. We've had a couple of opportunities where we thought we wanted to get into it. It just, scheduling just was a big issue. We weren't able to make the time to do it. But, you know, it's on the agenda, so to speak. Eventually, we'll get more time to do something like that. And hopefully, with the convention going on, we'll be able to network with a few more people and figure something out.
Cool. That sounds awesome. So, again, it's going to be June 29th and 30th. And it's going to be, where is it at in Grand Haven?
It's going to be at the Grand Haven Community Center. That's 421 Columbus Avenue, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417. We've got all the information and on the website, graspp.org. We will be posting, probably this weekend, we'll be posting the list of the speaker schedules and such like that. And then we're also going to be having a silent auction. We're working on getting donations right now to benefit a friend of ours, Kim Colleen, out of Holland, Michigan, who does a lot of charity work herself and has just been diagnosed with cancer. Mm. So we're going to do a silent auction to try to raise some money to help her.
That sounds great. I think you're going to meet some really wonderful people, and I think you're going to have a lot of people show up. That it's amazing. I think more and more people are becoming open to these kind of things. Even research on UFOs, it used to be a smaller percentage, but now it's, I think, close to 50% or more. And I think when it comes to ghosts, spirits, I think that's a much bigger majority of people the people I talk to that seem to believe that those things are possible. 10, 20 years ago, maybe that wasn't the case, but it seems like more and more these things are becoming accepted. And who knows, maybe eventually you'll capture something really good. And if you do, let me know.
Oh. and it's all in interpretation. We've got to get more teams learning to investigate the same way, once we can get people to start working together, which is really unbelievably hard to do in this field anymore. I'm hoping that with this convention that it's going to show that the times are changing and we're going to get more teams working together and learning from each other. And we're going to be able to come up with more and more evidence that people aren't going to be able to just toss aside as easy.
Right. Well, I think things are changing. Things are changing in the world. We don't always see it, but I think there are more and more. You know, just me talking to people all over the planet, I definitely see a shift in people's consciousness. And I really do believe people are becoming more aware and people are becoming more open to all different types of things. Things, like I said, 20 years ago, probably not. And now I think people, in a way, are waking up to all the possibilities.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to tell me at all about this, Bill? Anything else?
Just let people know that we got it going on down here. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a great weekend. It is going to be just before 4th of July, so if you're planning to travel the distance to get here, make sure you get a reservation at one of the local hotels or campgrounds. There's several campgrounds in the area.
The haunted campgrounds. If you get the haunted campground, that would be great.
That would be nice, yes. And if people email me, I can let them know. But there is a very haunted lodge in the area that I could pretty much confidently say that if you stayed there, there's a good chance you're going to experience something.
Wow.
But I can't say the name over the air, but I can recommend it to people if they want to contact us.
Well, there's
an email.
I'll have a link posted with this interview, but your website again is graspp.org. Does that stand for anything?
It's Gathering Research and Stories of Paranormal Phenomena.
So grasp with two P's and .org. Bill Jones.
Yeah, I'm messing with people.
Thanks to you and Jay and Connie and Mike for being my guest. I look forward to talking to you again.
Hey, we appreciate it all, man. It was fun talking with you, and we will talk again. Yeah.